that you'd say that. I would have been disappointed. I was born in 1956, but there's something else. This show came on the television sets, and yes, it was in black and white for you who were back there in those days. Remember to tell the truth. Remember the show. To tell the truth, there was three celebrity guests would come together, and they would bring in three contestants, and the announcer would say that one of those contestants had a very unusual occupation. And then it was the job of the celebrity guests to ask the contestants questions and try to figure out which of the one had the occupation, while two of them would lie through their teeth to make sure, if they could, that they would not figure it out. You know, being lied to is all fun and games when it's a game show. But it's not much fun. In fact, it can be very destructive when it involves real life and real people, people that perhaps we trust, or at least we felt like we could trust. We're looking at some phrases that show up in the scripture called the one another phrases, and they show up almost 60 times. We've mentioned that several times. And so when something keeps showing up over and over in scripture, it indicates to us that it is significant, that it's important, that it is close to the heart of God. And I think that's the case with the one another. So we're going to continue this morning, and we've been working our way down through the attitude column. And actually, that column's a little longer. I had something happen this week. I have all these things typed out on a sheet of paper, which I keep on my desk from when I did the research way back in June. And, when I printed them off, I didn't recognize, or I forgot, that my printer was set on two-sided. And this week I turned it over and was like, oh, okay, there's a bunch more attitudes that I forgot about. And so there's a few more on that list that we'll add next week and spend a little time thinking through a few of them. But here's what we're going to look at this morning. We're going to look at two more of the attitudes, the attitude that says truthful with one another, and then the attitude of forgiving one another. Before we do that, I'd like us to pray again, and then we're going to dig into the Word of God. Father, thank you for your insight into who we are and what we need as your children. And I feel like what we're talking about this morning, all of these have been important, but especially, man, Lord, as I waded through your word and thought through this whole statement and how it applies to my life, it was challenging. It was convicting. I suspect it will do that for all of us. But I pray that we go into this conversation this morning with open hearts, with a desire. God, if there's something that I need to hear this morning, that my heart is, I want to hear it. And even more than that, I want to make it part of who I am, because I want to please you, God. So guide our conversation, and thank you for what you're going to do. Pray these things in your Son's name. Amen. So if you have your Bibles or your devices, turn to Ephesians 4. That's where we'll be this morning for this study. Everything we want to look at is found in that chapter, Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to start with verse 25, although we're going to skip around a little bit. And verse 25 says this: therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak the truth, each one of you with his neighbors, for we are all members of one another. Now, if you have the NIV, it translates it a little differently. It says, therefore, therefore, each of you must put off falsehoods, for we're all members of one body. It's interesting. I know why they came up with that. And if you know anything about the NIV, New International Version, which I use most of the time nowadays preaching, the reason this translation came into existence, it's a good translation. It was trying to take the Greek and arrange it in a way that is more palatable to the way we speak, more in line with our modern process of structuring sentences. The Greek structure is so often very different. The New American Standard Version, which is the way I quoted that verse a moment ago, tries to construct the English almost identical to the way it's constructed in the Greek, which gives you a good idea, except it's a little clumsy. Well, I think in this case, usually I really enjoy the NIV, but in this case, I feel like they missed something. And this is my position, and I'll talk to you about why I feel like it's important. But one of the things you'll notice, and let me put them both up side by side. The New American Standard Version, that's the first one up there. That's the one that is constructed like the Greek is constructed. It says, therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak the truth, each one of you with his neighbors, for we are all members of one another. You'll notice that it ends with the words, we are all members of one another. The New International Version says, therefore, each of you must put off falsehood, for we are all members of one body. Why is that a big deal? Is this just one of those preacher things that we get hung up on? I don't think so, and let me talk through why. I think there's a problem here. I think when they, a couple of things that the NIV, in trying to make this more pithy, miss on. Number one, we've talked about the fact, up in the top one, the American Standard Version says, each one of you with his neighbors. We've talked about the fact that neighbors in Scripture, when it comes out, and Jesus identified in that Good Samaritan story, that neighbors is really from the context of the word and the context that's used in the Bible is really pretty much anybody God brings across your path. That's the person you're the neighbor to at that moment. And he's got some instruction about how we're supposed to respond to each other. But by the NIV translating those last few words, one body, I think they moved us the wrong direction. That is not the Greek word that's there. Now, Paul knows the word that's there is not translated the body almost in any circumstances. And Paul knows what he's doing here because early on, if you look a little up to verse 4, he talks about the body. He says, there is one body and one spirit. Now, he's talking about Christians, the church. That's one of the titles that often the Word of God gives for the followers of Christ, his people. He calls us the body. And there's a lot of reasons. He talks about because we're supposed to function as a body. And along that line, that every one of us is important. Like in a body, every single part of a body is very important. Murray's not here this morning, but for a while now, up until this week, Murray has been walking around with his big boot on his foot. Great big boot, you know. He had to lug around everywhere he goes. Why? Because he broke a toe, little toe, the little one. You know, the unimportant one. Well, if you've ever broke that toe, you know it's pretty significant. And and that's the idea of the body is we are all important. The body, we need to function in the body because the body needs each one of us. We have different gifts he talks about. And so Paul knows the word, and that's the word soma. But down here, when we get down to the word verse we're looking at now, what the NIV translates as the body is not the same word. It is the word aluon, and it does not mean the body. It's talking more of the group, the gathering, that idea. And so why is this important? Why am I making such a big deal of this? Well, here's why. If you took the NIV, you might read it or think it through this way. Well, Paul is saying that Christians are supposed to be very careful about speaking truthfully to each other. He's not so worried about out there in the world, but among us, we need to be careful. We need to be sure that we are honest with each other. Now, should we be honest with each other? Yes. Yeah, we're supposed to be truthful to each other. But I think Paul's making a bigger point here that the NIV misses, and that is, what I think Paul is actually saying is that the mark, one of the characteristics of who we are as God's children, in the midst of a world that is watching, is we are to be people of the truth. We are to be people of integrity. In fact, some of your translations anyway, probably have up at the top of this section of verses, there's probably a caption that was not there in the original Greek, but it is the interpreter trying to kind of context for us what this section talks about. And I know in one of my Bibles it says living as children of light. Do some of you see that top of your that section in your Bibles? So the idea of what Paul is talking about is he says, how do we live as children of light in the midst of a dark world? And here Paul is saying, well, one of the things that is so important for us as Christians in the middle of a dark world is that we be people that have integrity, that are truthful. that are known for our honesty. Some of us take pride in the fact that we're honest. But Paul says, well, before we jump into this, we need to talk it through a little more, because it's not just about being truthful. So Paul will add a little earlier these words, even in getting into this conversation. He said, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. You see, we talked about this a while back. This whole series of one another's, if I were to pull one out and put it at the top and say, every one of these other ones fall under this. It's the one of loving one another. Remember, Jesus came and he's talking to his followers, and he says, I'm going to give you a new commandment. And we were talking, some of us guys were talking about that this week, and it wasn't a new commandment, at least it didn't appear at first. Love one another, that had been around for a long time, even the Old Testament. Love your neighbor as yourself, that was common to them. But here's what Jesus did. He said, a new commandment I'm giving to you, love one another, here's the new part, as I have loved you, so you must love one another. Yep, Yanni. He said, Here's your example. I want you to use my example of love in the way you respond to each other. And so here Paul says that being honest is important. Being truthful is what we're supposed to do, but it has to be measured with love. Yeah, I've heard people say, maybe you've said it, maybe I probably said it times. Well, at least I was honest. You ever said that? What does that usually mean when we say it that way? Well, at least I was honest. It usually means that they didn't like the way we said it. They didn't accept it. And so our way of justifying our verbiage and the way we put it out there was, well, at least I was honest with you. I didn't lie to you. I was honest. And Paul says, the Apostle Paul says, that's not enough. It's not just about being honest. It's about carefully, thoughtfully, lovingly thinking through how you're going to make your honest declaration, whatever it is. I've known people who wear frankness as some kind of a badge of honor. I'm frank with people, you know. They don't like it. Sorry. I'm going to tell you the way it is, and you're just going to have to brace yourself for it. And then after that, they kind of lay out this, you know, they do. You have to brace yourself, because by the time they're done, you're on the floor weeping maybe. You know, some of them can be so frank. And Paul says, no, that's not, we want to be truthful. We're to be people of integrity, of honesty. But our words always have to be measured, thought through, on the basis of what's the loving thing to say here. That may not be clear enough. You know, that's kind of still kind of out there. What does that mean? So Paul later on says, well, let me define it for you. He says, let me explain to you as God's children, how your talk's supposed to come out of your mouth. He says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. There are some words I think that we need to define. And maybe you think, well, I already know the definition, but let's talk through them anyway. He says, first of all, in this issue of talk, an honest talk, and speaking the truth, which is the context, this is what Paul's talking through here. He says, first of all, I want you to know that from God's vantage point, from God's demand of us as his children when we speak the truth, is that no unwholesome talk comes out of our mouths. What's that word mean? Well, my gardening extends to tomatoes. That's the only thing I grow. We've had big gardens in the past, and I discovered that big gardens, just about this time of year, disappear under the weeds, at least the way I took care of gardens. And you couldn't find the vegetables anymore because the weeds were in control. I also discovered that if I went to the farmer's market, their good stuff was a whole lot better than my stuff. And so I gave up on that. But I still like tomatoes off the vine. And so I have some plants that in my backyard, and the tomatoes are coming in good right now. And so I had brought 4 or 5 in the other day, and Mary Lou stacked them in a bowl. And I went to get one a couple days ago, the one on top. And as I picked it up, it was real soft. And as it got up to my nose, it stunk. And I opened the trash can and threw that one away. That's what this word unwholesome means. It actually is, back in the root, the way it was used, is used of rotten fruit or vegetables. Something that, did I do something? There we go. Something that really has no value anymore. It has no nutritional value. It's not going to do anything for you. In fact, it probably is going to do the opposite. It's going to cause you to be ill. And he's using this word, he's pulling this word out of that context, and he says, when we have our conversations, when we speak the truth in love, that means that we're very careful that the words we use are words that are, well, put it this way, they don't stink. They don't do harm. They're not meant for destruction. They're of value. And we think them through so that when we say them, we've done everything we can to make them valuable to the person. This can happen in so many realms. We see it so much in the media and the world of politics right now. There's just a lot of conversation that out there that truly stinks. But can I step on our toes for a little bit? Think about, and I'm stepping on my toes. This was a convicting study for me this week. Think about the last conversation you had with a fellow believer or a like-minded person in the realm of politics with you. And how wholesome was the things that you had to say, I had to say. You know, it's funny when we get into with like-minded, how our conversation, our words get more and more angry and more and more, poisonous. They stink. And here's what happens then. We kind of, because you agree with me, and we both think everybody that doesn't agree with us are idiots, the poison starts to spread. And we get ourselves worked up. And Paul's saying, that's the things we're walking about. That's the things we're talking about. And so in this world where dialogue is so angry and it stinks, he's saying, my children are not supposed to get involved in that conversation. We're not supposed to have that kind of conversation. It doesn't just happen out there. It happens in the church. It happens in family relationships. How many times, we throw around words like, you never, or you always, or you're just like. And the reality is, if we'd given any thought at all, number one, we know that's not a truthful statement. They're not always like this, or they don't always do that. They're not just like. But we didn't think about it, or if we did, we chose those words particularly because we wanted to make sure that they drove home the message. And Paul say, no, that's not what we do as believers, as followers of Christ. We're careful with our words. We don't want to get the person on the defensive. He goes on. He defines this even better. He says, We want our words to be helpful. Well, I can see someone say, well, I'm just trying to help, I'm just telling you the truth because I'm just trying to help. Well, there's a little problem because that word that was translated helpful in here and in that translation could also have been translated good. It could have been translated pleasant, which is translated that way in other places in the Bible. It could have been translated agreeable, of benefit. So Paul's not just saying, you know, we can't get away with, well, I'm just trying to help. He's saying, no, we have to think through our words so that we say them in a way that actually makes it easy, if possible, for the other person to agree, to say, oh, I can see why what you're saying. I can see why maybe you would feel that way. Yeah, I do need to work on that. Say, we can't just throw out words. Paul's saying we have to carefully think through our words. Because when we speak the truth, it has to be defined by these kind of things. And you might be saying right about now, this is a pretty tall order, you know? God's being pretty demanding about this. We're just talking about conversation here. Yeah, you're right. He is. He is. Because, see, he loves people. And he realizes what sometimes we don't or we don't care about is words really make a difference. Words really do hone in on people's hearts. And if we're not careful, instead of being helpful, they're destructive. And he says, my children, I don't want us to be callous about our words, even when they're truthful. We can't be callous. In fact, they're supposed to be words that are not only helpful, but build others up. Building promotes growth. I have to think through God. He's saying, I want you to think through what you're about to say, and I want you to think through, is what I'm saying and the way I'm saying going to actually help the person I'm talking to grow? They actually are going to receive it as, okay, I can see that's helpful. I can see. I need to work on that. When I was back in college, I've shared with you before, I worked at a factory, and for a period of time, I was a nighttime supervisor, and there was the business gave all of us supervisors a little book that was written by Dr. Kenneth Blanchard. Some of you may have heard of the book. It was called The 1 Minute Manager. Any of you ever read that book? It was only about that thick. It was an easy read. And this is oversimplification, but the premise was this: if you have to confront someone underneath you at the business about something that they have done wrong or needs improvement, he said, here's the 1 minute. He said, first of all, you spend 1 minute praising them for all the things you see that are good about them, that you really appreciate, that, man, they are just on the money. So you start the conversation with 1 minute praising them, and then you spend 1 minute talking about the issue, and you spend 1 minute talking about what are goals, how are we going to fix this, how, you know, what should we do? And it's a great book, great little book, but that's, he's saying in that book to the secular world, what God is saying to us that should be the norm for us as Christian is we think through what we're saying and how we're saying it, because we want to build that person up, not take them down. And in fact, build them up according to their needs. That's a novel idea. Ever said this? Well, I need to get this off my chest. Usually that's followed up with something that shouldn't be said. Not only should you not get it off your chest, it shouldn't come out of your mouth. But I need to get it off my chest. Well, Paul says it's not really about what you need. This conversation you're about to have, which may be some difficult things, you need to make it about what they need. That's the way you approach the conversation, is what do they need to hear? If I want to do more than just get this off my chest, and that should be my heart, according to God, then what do they need to hear that will help them be able to receive this and hear my heart for them, which should be, I want to build them up. I want to improve our relationship. And Paul said, this is what it's supposed to look like when God's children talk with each other, but not just each other, with anyone. And then finally, that it may benefit those who listen. Benefit. I think I like the way that the New American Standard Version said it better, that it may give grace to those who hear. That it graces them. It encourages them. They're able to respond because you said it so carefully and so lovingly and so beneficially and so wholesomely that they're able to take what you're trying to say to them, which sometimes it's hard stuff, but they're able to receive it because they can see your heart and how carefully you thought through your words. Grace makes the other person feel like they're valuable in their love. Grace doesn't erode a relationship. It has as its object securing a relationship. But you notice he ends that with, that it may grace those who hear, or the NIV, benefit those who listen. Will they always listen? No, they won't. That's really not the point here. I mean, that's your hope, that's your desire, but they may not. They may not respond well, no matter how careful we are. The reality check is sometimes it just doesn't go that way. What do we do when it doesn't go that way? Well, Paul goes on. He says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ forgave you. That's where forgiveness comes into play. Sometimes the conversation doesn't go well, no matter how careful, how loving we've been. It just doesn't go well. Sometimes there are people that hate us just for who we are. Got a lot of people out there right now that hate you because, in fact, if they saw you here today, they would despise you because you're going to church, which means you're at least indicating that you're a follower of Christ, and they can't stand followers of Christ. So what do I do about those kind of people, you know? Do I got to be kind and loving and compassionate? Yeah. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other. Now, I got a lot more to say about forgiving, but that's going to be another whole message. There's a lot, I think, misinformation, misthinking biblically about that subject. But I think Paul identifies even more clearly what wraps around these kind of situations. He says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience. Think about some of those Facebook posts you saw this week. And think about how you wanted to respond. And then take this list and say, ha, I better think this through. Kind, compassion, humility, gentle, patience. Bear with each other, forgive with other, whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Okay. Who is it? Who is it? Who's the person that God has brought to your mind this morning while we've been having this discussion? The person that you know that in a conversation you had with them recently, it didn't go down like any of this. And the Lord's kind of been plaguing you, and kind of sticking their face in your mind, and because you know that what you had to say to them, or maybe it's what they said to you, was so far from speaking the truth in love that a lot of harm was done, a lot of destruction, and you didn't think through your words. You didn't use any of this context to try to think how to say it in a way that would actually make it easy for them to accept and benefit and grow. You just wanted to have your say, get it off your chest. And so God's been putting that name in your face. It may be a relationship that it may not have been recent. Maybe it's been this fractured for a long time. Long time. And pride and pain and anger and fault finding have kept you from moving towards them, and it's kept them from moving towards you. And this morning God's been saying, time to do something. It's time to move forward. And this is the God who is all about restoring relationship, and he moved towards us. He's not asking us to do something he didn't do. And you realize that God did everything that could possibly be done to restore our relationship with every human being throughout the entire world. And a lot of them won't respond. That's not the point. The point is, God did what was necessary. You have no control over how a person responds. I don't either. Tons of people never responded to God's huge steps that he made for restoration. But you have control over what you and I do about this. We make the movement and then allow God to work in the heart. Because here's what God says to us. He says, all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. He's given us a work to do. That's what ministry means. We're to be about the business of reconciliation, of restoring relationships. Now, it'll be a lot easier if we speak the truth in love in the first place. We won't have as many to go back and fix. But if there's some that need fixed, and you haven't done at least the steps necessary to do on our part to fix it, God's saying, it's time. It's time. Father, sometimes you beat us up. I've got to say, honestly, your word hones in on that thing in our heart that we've been kind of trying to keep from our memory, from our thinking, because it's hard. And yet it's so important. You're a God of reconciliation. You took on yourself tremendous cost to restore our relationship with you, and you're saying that my children need to be marked by, first of all, speaking the truth in love, by being careful with our words so that they don't do damage, they don't hurt and harm if it's at all possible. That's never our intention. That they build up, that they encourage, that they help people to grow, that they increase a relationship, make it stronger, not tear it down. That's what you tell us that we're supposed to be marked by as your children. And when that doesn't work, Lord, then we're to be people of humility and compassion and kindness and willing to forgive, and children who move towards doing the work of reconciliation. Thanks for this reminder, for this challenge this morning. Lord, if you've impressed on our hearts that there's something we need to do to act upon your words, then give us the strength and the grace and the love to move forward. We pray these things in your Son's name. Amen. Have a great week.